Jen, are you there?
I'm here, Michael.
Great.
So
great.
Where I said good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion.
Great. Wonderful.
But we're not sure if our good news interviewee, the person we were going to interview, is here, are we?
No, we're not.
Is there a way you can check that the one entry that I thought could be her?
By bringing that line live.
Okay.
Way we check.
Okay. Well, I'm game for it. This is Zen.
Okay. This is Zen. Okay. We have a caller. You are now live on the air.
Hello. This is Chris.
Hey, Chris. It worked.
Hey, Jen. All right.
Excellent. All right. So let me give a little background on what we're hoping to look at this evening. We got a bunch of events that we want to highlight, upcoming things. Actually, two of them are brand new. I'm not even sure they hit the schedule yet today, but they've just been scheduled, and they're coming right up, so we wanted to highlight them. But before we get into the detail of that, the reason I invited Chris to be on the show, she's a very committed part of the Northern California Sangha, and as far as I can tell, does her very best to make it to every possible in-person event that she can. And so, Chris, I thought you'd be a good candidate to talk with us about why you feel like it's so important for your practice to add that piece to be committed to actually getting to events in person.
Oh, sure. Well, I just feel so fortunate that I live in the Bay Area where, you know, there are quite a few events. So, for one, I just go because I think they're so fun.
Yeah.
And so I go to every single thing that I can.
Yeah, which is really fun. I mean, I know there are a lot of far-flung people who are jealous of those of us who live in the area so we can go to everything. But, you know, a shocking number of people do live close by to things that happen here or in other parts of the country. And whatever, they get talked out of it or they don't find the time to do it. So it's neat that you actually, you know, find yourself availing yourself of every opportunity that you can.
Yeah, and especially, you know, all the events that Sherry does, they're just so, I get so inspired by them. It's like just such a guaranteed way to have fun, feel inspired, you know, just so many things. Get reminded of what's really important to me, you know, what's really matters. And
yeah.
Just so many benefits. I get new ideas for recordings and
yeah.
All sorts of things.
Yeah, that's so great. That was actually my experience with the email class that came out today. For, you know, probably a lot of people who are listening, but possibly not everyone, know that Sherry's doing an email class that went through the month of November, and she added on a piece for December. And people who are still in it, she's still sending things out. And I had that experience of, oh, what a great reminder. Just, you know, it feels like the guide speaking to something cuts right to it.
Yeah.
So I agree with you that being at an event in person, there's nothing quite like it to kind of, as you say, to have fun, to get re-inspired, to remember what's important.
And it's also it's just a fun way also to feel part of Sangha, you know, just to like, you're not necessarily even talking to anyone else, but just to be part of it and another thing that I was thinking, it just feels so good. Because to actually go, you know, because sometimes I'll try, you know, things will want to talk me out of going, but I just put everything I can on the calendar, knowing, you know, that that's what my heart wants, and then I just go, and it feels great to, you know, to do that for myself.
Yeah, I love that, because it would be so easy to get talked out of it. Either signing up, well, I mean, I've been to a bunch of things, I don't really need to go to this one, or at the last minute, oh, I don't really want to.
Mm-hmm,
but
yeah.
As you say, nope, that's the commitment I made. I'm going to keep the commitment and always being glad that we did.
Yeah.
So one of the events that we've just put on the schedule is that There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreat in January, and I'll say more in a minute about how that happened, why we suddenly put one on there. But, Chris, I know you've been to a There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreat, and I wondered if you could say a few words about how you feel about that retreat.
Well, you were there when I was there, and it was just – a couple of years ago, it was definitely one of the greatest, best weeks of my life. It was just, I would highly recommend it to anyone considering it whatsoever. Just do it. And it's beautiful there. It's, you know, you get to really learn and get tools about how to end suffering for yourself.
It really is. That's a good way to describe it. I think this particular retreat is one that gets in there and really gets the kind of big, you know, either reinforces your tool, you know, basket if you've already got one, or it really begins to build one if you haven't gone in that direction yet. So yeah, and the reason that we didn't schedule it until just now is that we don't generally have retreats on the schedule in the wintertime at the monastery because it's quite cold, and it's we live pretty close to the elements here, so it's hard to keep people comfortable. But we had so many people saying, gosh, I don't want to wait all the way till late spring or early summer to come to that retreat. Is there anything you can do? And so we actually found an alternative retreat venue. And, Michael, this might be where you can help us out because I know. So we're doing the retreat in Carmel.
Oh.
And I have a feeling you share my opinion that the retreat center we use in Carmel is just about one of the most beautiful spots on the earth.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
And I have to ask, of course, if the retreat is full already.
Exactly. We haven't even put it on the web, but I have a feeling. Real quickly. It's a little bit more expensive than, I think it's like $825 instead of $650 because we have to pay to go to that retreat center. You know, we have to, because it's its own retreat center, so it makes some income too. Though we have a long-standing relationship with them, and so they're really giving us a great deal on it. And it's what's allowing us to do it at all. Normally, we wouldn't be able to afford to do a retreat at a place like that and not have to make the price so exorbitant that most people can't afford it. So that's going to be really, really fun. That's January 19th through the 26th. And it's going up on the web probably momentarily if it's not already there. So that's a must do. And then the other thing that's just getting scheduled, it's so new that we're not even sure exactly if it's going to happen Saturday or Sunday, but is the Best Year Yet workshop. Dan Letender, who is the person, fabulous facilitator, who comes out from North Carolina to facilitate that, she was thinking she wasn't going to be able to come out till March, but she had an opening in her schedule and suddenly could come out in January. And so it's either going to be Saturday, January 15th, or Sunday, January 16th, and we're just waiting on that to see. But that's another one. Once it's on the schedule, you want to get to it quickly because it's really, really popular. Michael, you've done that, of course, many, many times. Chris, have you done the Best Year Yet process?
I've done it twice, yeah. It's great.
It is, isn't it? Yeah. It's such a nice compliment. You know, people say, gosh, goal setting with Zen practice? It fits really quite beautifully. So highly recommend that. In fact, I'm even scheming to see if we might be able to get Jan on the show in the next little while to be able to speak to that process because it's really quite neat. And then, of course, the last event to highlight is the one coming up this very weekend on Saturday, the Real Comfort Workshop. And, Michael, I think you had a chance to ask Sherry about that last week.
Yes.
You and she chatted a bit about that. And what I remember from the conversation is you were talking about how during the holidays, it's such a time that people tend to, it's sort of like, yeah, I mean, I know how to take care of myself. I know what I need to do. But, I mean, this is the holidays, you know, so I can do things differently here. And maybe looking to see, yes, it's a fun time to celebrate. And, yes, we want to do special things for ourselves and for each other and, you know, like that. But what is, what's the possibility of staying tuned into our heart as we make those decisions?
Yes, yes. That was my experience as well. And it's interesting. What feels related to me is I had a work event today that was a holiday party. And people I work with are great. They're kind. And, you know, the food really didn't support me. You know, it's not food that I would normally choose.
Yep.
And it seems like what happens sometimes around the holidays is that the priorities that I usually keep for myself for some reason, under the guise of the holidays, somehow become less important.
Yeah.
Which, as I say, it sounds ludicrous.
Yeah.
Because they're, in fact, almost more important.
You know, that's a really good point. And, you know, what I love about our practice is that it's not about deprivation either. So it's not about, okay, so I'm not going to have anything that's yummy to me or anything good. I'm going to have to just, you know, make all these decisions that all these parts of me don't want to make. It's not about that at all. And I project that's what the workshop's going to be about on Saturday is really having a chance to stop and look at what truly do I want during the holidays? What truly will support me? And so it seems like, boy, this is certainly one way to support ourselves, is to come to the workshop, as Chris was saying, to come together, be together, have fun, you know, celebrate, have a good time, get re-inspired, and remember really, truly how we want to spend our holiday time.
Yes, yes. It's a great support.
It is.
Can I add one point?
Go ahead, Michael. Yeah.
So I was just remembering at this holiday party today that I've been through for many years that there were many times, actually, where I was with the breath and counting the breath.
Wow.
And I do not remember
yeah.
being able to do that to any degree before.
Yeah.
And it's just a big blessing.
Oh, it really is. I mean, that's a miracle, really.
It's a miracle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We talk about how, in some ways, that's kind of the highest level of practice, is to be able to stay conscious when we're interacting with another human being.
Uh-huh. Yes. Yeah.
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 Gosh, what a gift.
Definitely.
And so there is still space in that workshop. And I think, actually can't remember, I think the deadline's on Thursday, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes. Yes.
End of the day on Thursday. And then, I guess, Michael, we might as well just knock out the rest of the announcements while we're at it, huh?
Sure.
So we've got the Santa Sabina retreat, which is our annual New Year's retreat, still has spots in it as well. That's a very, very special retreat. We talked a little bit about that last week. So highly, highly recommend that. And then Sherry's going to be in Santa Barbara for what sounds like kind of a pretty neat event. It's part of a larger event, the Health Classics, I think it's called. And I think that's going to be a really neat event. So that's great for people who are in that sort of Southern California area.
And Sherry said last week that is, sounds like, the weekend after the end of the Santa Sabina retreat.
Is that? Yes, I think that's right. I actually don't have the exact date in front of me.
Yeah, I want to say 6, 7, 8, something like that.
Yeah, that sounds exactly right. Yep. And as usual, it's all on our website.
Great.
Yeah. Well, I guess, are we ready for the rest of the show, Michael?
Sure.
All right. So, Chris, thank you so much for being on with us. A pleasure,
well,
as always.
Thanks, Jen.
And I guess we'll see you on Saturday.
Definitely.
All right.
Have a good show, Michael.
Okay, we will. Thanks, Jen. Thanks, Chris.
Thank you, Michael.
Bye. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Michael.
About the time of year when I start saying good night.
That's right. Yeah, because it's pitch black dark, isn't it? 5 o'clock.
It's getting there.
Oh, we're just minutes away from the shortest day of the year, which is a day of huge celebration for me, because then we're cruising on toward long days. And
yes. Yes.
So one more thing. Since we're talking about where people are going to go and be, I'm going to be in Seattle Thursday evening.
Oh, yes.
So I'm hoping if anybody's tuning in and they're in Seattle, they'll make it up to the East West Bookstore.
Great.
Hmm?
Great.
Yeah.
Great.
And I love the Chris said somewhere in it, you know, you just do it. And I did send out a little class reminder, whatever it is, to the folks in the email class, and I sent it out. I think they got it this morning, and I've decided, based on their response, that I'm also going to post it as a blog, because it seems to have really kind of triggered something for people in the, you know, let's stop listening to the voices that say, I don't want to, I don't feel like it, it's too hard, I'm too tired. And just realize that what we're seeking, we find in our commitments and in keeping our commitments to ourselves. So people listening in can also look for that if they're not in the class.
Yes, yes. That was my experience as well, reading it.
Yeah, just kind of, okay, this is Zen, folks. We got to buck up here and take charge of our lives. Enough of that being pushed around by these voices who don't like us.
Yes, yes.
Michael, my phone, since the you know, here Country Living has its has its opportunities, and our phones usually go out when it rains, and I've noticed since the first rain that my phone is a little crackly scratchy. Is it troublesome?
I hear it just about like you do, just a little crackle, and I hear the voice of wisdom and practice and compassion coming through loud and clear.
Oh, wow. All right.
a little crackle for variety.
Yeah, okay. If it gets annoying, let me know, and I'll try it from a cell phone.
Okay, great. I think we're good.
Thanks, Michael.
And I wanted to remind people that we have this great new program of sticking to one topic and keeping our conversations to 5 to 10 minutes. And with that, we hear from most of the world, actually.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
Okay, let's jump in. First caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Michael. This is Chris.
Hey, Chris.
Hi.
How's
well,
it
just
going?
Have a little quick. Go ahead.
How's it going?
It's going all right. Just
Good.
Got a little update.
Good. Excellent.
With the anyway, so I got the digital recorder put onto the iPod, and that was just great. I can put it on random, and then things just come in and out and out of order. So I get stuff on there yet. So I if I listen to it in order, it'll be the same thing over and over. But but the thing is, I keep adding more to it. But even listening to it. In fact, even the first time I listened to it, I started making a new one. I started listening to the iPod to something, and then I made a new. I started talking to the recorder as I was listening to actually hear something in the background. But no, it's just been great. It keeps just bringing up more things that I can add.
Uh-huh.
More stuff.
It does in the class.
Mm-hmm.
People who are going along are starting to talk about. The different ways that they use it, and so that kind of you know, I'm listening along, and that reminds me of that other thing, as you're saying, you know.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
So then I do a recording on that,
mm-hmm.
and then I just hear a voice and pick up the recorder and say, oh, there's that voice, I recognize that voice talking about, and so it's becoming a very it's in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
It has lots of different functions. People are talking about using it to take care of different subpersonalities, to address old hurts and wounds from the past and speak to those. So lots and lots of applications once we start regularly using it.
Yes.
Yeah.
One thing I've noticed that I was listening to last week's show, and a person was talking about some gizmo to plug into an iPod that you could record directly onto it. And I saw how, ooh, now that's the real system. That's the best one. That's why, you know, and I could see myself start to talk myself into trying to get this new and improved, but that, no, this one works just fine.
Yeah, I'm doing good.
Yeah, that's a real tendency, because I hear all these things that people are doing and this, that. Oh, wow, I could do that. But and then there's a tendency just to follow that into trying to achieve some ultimate something or other device, and that's not a place. I have a tendency to do that kind of thing anyway, and that's
yeah. So that's one you want to make a recording about, right?
Yes.
I need to calm myself down when I start getting excited about all the technology that I can hook together to manage to, yeah, bring it back to just simple. I need to hear some wisdom. I need to, you know, I need to talk to the mentor. I need to get some wisdom back. Thanks. That's plenty.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So anyway, I just wanted to do a checkup and say it's great, and see you in a couple of days.
All right. I'm looking forward to it. Thanks, Chris.
Me too.
Good night.
Good night, Michael.
Good night. Thanks for joining us, Chris.
You know, Michael, that I just learned about that. Somebody, I think in group on last Thursday evening, was talking about having a nano shuffle, and that it just goes on its own little trip. You know, it's it's just constantly playing something, but there's no real ability to determine what that is.
Yeah.
And I had to make a recording about that. My orderly, some people who are less charitable would call it controlling tendencies, just kind of went, and then I thought, well, that would really be fun. It would feel kind of like, the mentor coming in almost unsolicited, you know, with what would be good for me to hear in this moment.
Yes.
So I got kind of excited about that possibility.
Yes. Yes. In my experience, it's fun, definitely. And we have another caller. Next caller, you are now live on the air. And would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, Michael and Sherry. This is Pasha from San Francisco.
Hey, Pasha.
Hi.
Hi.
How you doing?
Very good. How are you?
Good. Great.
Oh, yes. That was unexpected. There was a big line of callers. I thought I wasn't at the head of the line. So great to be on the air. And two things I'd like to report.
Okay.
I'm still practicing the holding my child, the real one, and the inner one.
Uh-huh.
And
the internal and the external.
Yes.
Yes, both real little boys.
Yes. And in the past 2 weeks, I had, again, one more tantrum from the internal child for about 2 days. And this time, I was able, reconnect with a mentor and kind of take the child and walk with him out of the dark room back into a light. And it felt like a real connection. Felt something new, and at the same time, it helped me to disidentify from inner child being traumatized.
Yes. So
yeah.
To be in that position of mentor to that little person instead of being him.
Yes. And also, I noticed while that was happening, the inner child felt exhausted, tired, and almost like sick with the flu symptoms. But being a mentor, it felt amazingly energetic. It felt for me, it was like, wow, I'm not actually sick, I'm not tired. It's such a strange experience of, it felt almost that part could never be sick, or, I mean, I don't want to say that, but it felt very encouraging and strong. It's like somebody is always behind my back, or I don't know how to describe it.
Well,
I
project that I know exactly what you mean, and it is one of the most shocking/exciting, encouraging experiences we can have, because when we feel that tired, that just exhausted, I can't do it, I can't go on, and it's so real. And
yeah.
Then to immediately flip out of that, no naps, no rest, no food, no anything, just like a switch is being flipped, and suddenly you're at center, and you have all the energy in the world. I mean, it will make a believer out of a person. At that point, we really see the power of egocentric karmic conditioning and self-hate.
Wow. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was amazing feel of death part is not sick and not tired.
Yes.
And it's just so strong and available. That was amazing and felt so good to reconnect and be in that place. And at that moment, I thought, well, I don't need to be a child to help in this situation. I could take care of the child and do what needs to be done. You know, find the food, find the rest, find for him to take care.
Yes.
And it was very freeing experience.
It is startling. It's astounding.
Yeah.
Because it's so, I don't know another way to talk about it. It's just so believable when we're identified with it. And then to step free of it and realize that was a takeover. You know, all of my energy was actually being sucked out into that story. And as soon as I come back to center, I have this boundless energy. Well, then staying at center would really be the place to go. And I have another big clue, which is when I'm feeling worn out and exhausted and everything is just, I'm identified. I'm not tired. I'm identified with conditioning, and it's sucking the life out of me.
Well, that step I haven't made yet to look at why and how I felt so tired and exhausted. I was at the place, right now I don't want to go there. I'd rather stay and take care of the child. And being there, I'm not abandoning the child. I don't abandon his needs. I'm just guiding him out of there.
Yes.
Now, as you say it, I'm looking back as and seeing how powerful is it that was that identification was.
Yes. And you know, Pasha, the other thing about it is that as you bring him more and more into the light room and meet his needs and that sort of thing, he will be able to disconnect from that experience as well. Karmic conditioning won't be able to use him as an energy source anymore because you're going to help him get plugged in to that centered energy that's powering you.
Yes, and that's how I'm going to do it. I'm going to sign up for this Saturday Mountain View workshop.
Yes.
Yeah, and also for the new year retreat.
Oh, great.
And Saturday is actually my wife's birthday present for me to be able to go for that workshop because she'll be taking care of a real child, so I can take care of the inner child.
The external guy.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. Well, that's a very kind wife to give such a present, huh?
Yes. Yes. Very. Thank you so much, and thank you for the workshops and for this open air. It's been kind of blocked for me by my conditioning, not being able to tap into these resources, and now it's opening up more and more. I started with San Francisco Sitting Group, and then I'm going to retreat, then more and more, I feel like more and more practice tools are becoming available and handy.
Yeah.
Yes.
And you're taking advantage of them, which is what makes all the difference in the world. Yeah.
Yes.
And clearly, you're having that experience. It's clear in listening to you that you are living the difference in your life. And again, that's just such a marvelous thing for us to do for ourselves and for everyone we love.
Yes, I do. And another strange thing I noticed listening back to the show, I feel it's kind of different voice. I listen to my recordings. Listen talking on the show, and it's almost as a different person talking versus I'm being sometimes so identified that I notice the changes in the voice.
Yes, yes. And you're right. It we could say it is a different person talking. in the same way that we can watch that shift in energy from I'm exhausted to I have all the energy in the world in a split second, we can also hear the voice go from, oh God, I just can't, to, you know, alive and vibrant and somebody who's really present and he's doing this work and he's taking care of these people and, you know, it's a whole different person.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
Thank you so much.
You are so welcome. See you Saturday.
Have a good night.
All right, you too.
Yes.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Basha. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we're going to hear from our sponsors, and then we'll be right back.
All right.
Porchdog Software is proud to support Open Air with Sherry Huber. For more years than we care to mention, Porchdog has been writing Windows and Mac software for customers big and small. We're pretty good at what we do, and we always try to remember that what we're doing is never more important than how we're doing it. Check us out at www.porchdogsoft.com. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
By Trish Brooks for Culligan gives voice to what Simply Celebrate is all about. Opening to rivers of joy, listening to our hearts, trusting ourselves and our lives. Simply Celebrate is a book and business that grew out of gratitude for the work of Sherry Huber and this amazing Sangha. We use the practice as a foundation for helping people wake up to all the joy, spontaneity, color, and connection that is available in every moment. Please visit simplycelebrate.net.
What if you bathed in an ocean of roses? What if you swam in a river of joy?
Welcome back to Open Air. And we have another caller. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Well, hello there. It's Jeffrey from New York City.
Jeffrey, how
Hi.
Are you?
Great. I love that song. It's one of my favorites.
Which one?
The one, What Would You Do If You Knew?
Yes. And isn't it great that you can actually sing it?
Yeah, I enjoy it.
Yeah. I mean, I could have tried that, and it wouldn't have had nearly the, I would have, people would have still been asking, what song?
Not the same result.
So what's going on?
I'm really enjoying the recording, and I've made it, I've been sort of experimenting with bringing it into parts of my life that traditionally conditioning has been in charge of.
Uh-huh. Can you give us an example?
Well, sure. Sex and money seem, they're the first that come to mind.
Uh-huh. Yes, those are... For most people, those are, great places for egocentric karmic conditioning and self-hate to kind of plant a flag and take right over.
Yeah, well, and sort of take advantage of conditioning would sort of tell me this story that those things are separate from practice.
Oh,
it can't
yes.
be part of practice.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, and it's interesting, isn't it? We don't come to those conclusions on our own. You know, there is so much information that says you don't talk about that. You keep that to yourself hidden. And by the way, it's all sinful and evil.
Yes,
yeah.
Shameful.
Yeah,
yeah,
shameful. And so, of course, then anything that gets put in that category, karmic conditioning can just have a field day with. And because we're just trapped behind the, this is shameful, you can't let anybody know about this. It's really quite a horrible system.
Yeah, and if there's something I wouldn't feel comfortable talking about to other people, for example, the mentor can work that out
isn't
in private.
That,
you
isn't
know?
That good? Yes, because the mentor has no judgment.
Yeah.
There's nothing
yeah.
that is taboo. There's nothing that you can think or say or do that is going to cause the mentor to turn a cold shoulder to you.
Yes. Nothing that makes me a bad Buddhist or not doing practice right.
Yeah, or a bad person.
Or a bad person, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, practice, yes, but there's just plain old nothing that you can do that's going to result in rejection. And now people listening to this could say, oh, that's great, you know, if you're a colony of hedonists. But what about decent people? And that's, to me, there it is right there, confusing unconditional love and acceptance with indulgence.
Yeah.
So the mentor is going to offer me unconditional love and acceptance and also a way to go in a direction that truly takes care of my heart, not follows the path of self-hate that I've been taught to think I want.
Well, yes, exactly. And not that it has to be compare and contrast, but I have a partner that I'm monogamous with. It's not like I'm talking about conditioning still has a hold of that. Is what I mean. Sometimes.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Which is part of the way we get to see what a rotten system it is.
Hmm.
You know, after we've practiced long enough. So, in the email class, somebody wrote in and said, "You know, I'm trying to figure out just exactly why karmic conditioning always wants to prove I'm wrong." And of course, I wrote back, you know, with as much emphasis as I can, you know, all caps, in bold, exclamation point, you know, no, you don't need to figure that out. So with this, karmic conditioning, self-hate is going to go after you as long as it can. So you've been doing practice long enough to know that there isn't anything that it's not going to try to throw you into suffering over. So, you know, yes, it's sex. Okay. Well, I have a partner. Well, that doesn't matter. But we're monogamous. That doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter.
Yeah.
There's always going to be something to point a finger at you and say you're a bad, sinful person.
Yes. And it's such a relief. In a way, to me, that's a relief because it's not personal.
Oh, it is so not personal, and it so doesn't have anything to do with what you're doing.
Yeah.
You could be a celibate monk, and it would be beating you up because you had a sexual thought.
Yeah.
Or trying to.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, truly, you know, it can only, as we know, it can only do it for as long as we accept it.
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and whatever I do is the wrong thing. It's like a machine.
Yes.
That way. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So yeah, it is comforting to realize it. It's like, okay, I can't win with you. Good. I'm going to quit trying.
Yeah. And it's also comforting to see that I'm making these little recordings for quote-unquote separate areas, but it's really that same process.
Yes.
I'm a bad person.
You're a bad person.
You're similar things.
Yeah, you're a bad person.
Yeah.
Let me give you an outline of all of the ways in all of the aspects of life where you are a bad, wrong person.
Yeah, and then advice to fix yourself, which adds to more suffering and it's horrible.
Yeah, or, you know, you could talk to somebody who actually likes you and respects you and knows that you're a good person and really wants what's best for you. And that, again, that includes you being the very best person that you can be, which is what we're going for. But it has much more to do with kindness and compassion and understanding and peace and generosity and gratitude than it does with whether or not you have sex or money.
Yeah, and that's a good place to be. That's a good focus to have.
Yeah, what's really important in life? You know, who do you actually want to be? Yeah, I pick kindness.
Yeah. I'm going to put that on my recording.
There you go. Check it out, though. Ask the mentor if this is a good direction for you. Or do you intuitively sense that it is?
I'm getting, yes, a little intuition on that.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome, Jeffrey. Great to hear from you.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Jeffrey. You're listening to Open Air. And we have another caller.
Right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Michael, this is Jen.
Hey, Jen.
Hi.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm well.
First of all, this is on a subject that you and I understand. Thank you.
Okay, yes.
All right.
I got you. You're welcome.
All right. So what's going on?
Thank you. Well, I'm calling because I wanted to call once a month, and I called last month, and then when I was looking at December, I realized that this was the only Tuesday in December that there would be an opportunity to call, so I'm calling.
Very good. So what's been going on?
Well, I mean, I've been right in this very moment, I'm just in a little story of, you know, I didn't want to call at all, and I'm getting told this is a complete waste of this amazing opportunity to talk to you, and I got nothing, or I could just make up something, or, you know, I mean, it's kind of, there's this whole thing, but I just felt like, no, I'm keeping this commitment to call, even though I'm not sure who is here or what the heck is going on, but that's what's happening in this moment.
Yeah, and there's lots there that could certainly go on a recording, huh?
Yes, that is very, very true. And
yeah, the voice that comes in and says, I mean, first of all, we can know it's bogus because there's always something going on, right? We're always practicing. We're always looking. There are always insights. There's always conditioning trying to slime around the edges and wreck life. So, you know, there's never a moment that isn't absolutely filled to overflowing with practice opportunities.
Absolutely.
Yeah, nanner, nanner, nanner to you, voices.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. So... yeah, I mean, one thing that I am looking at a lot is, I was really excited that I actually, through the November part anyway, I completed every assignment in the email class, which I don't think has ever happened.
Great. Congratulations.
Yeah, it was really exciting. I mean, I was, you know, way behind, and then I would come back and stuff. But you know, that was a really, it's a new opportunity for what's possible, because conditioning usually would tell me, you know, you're just so far behind that no way. So that was really neat that I was so far behind, and I did. And now I'm behind, you know, or behind in quotes or whatever. I'm listening to my recordings, but I'm not keeping up with the new postings that you've had for December.
Well, you better get the one for today. It's a doozy.
It sounds like it. I was hearing it being referred to, and I think I better check it out. Yeah,
yep.
Absolutely.
Yep. It's
so
a good one. And, you know, the thing about it is, one of the things that I like best of all about Buddhism, one of the 10,000 things I like best about Buddhism, is that there's no making anything up. There's
uh-huh.
no atoning. There's
yeah.
no forgiveness. There's no any of that. You're out there. You're lost. You're listening to the voices. You're miserable. You're suffering. You're behind. You wake up, you're here, you're present, your eyes clear, you look around, that's it. That's
yeah.
all there is.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
So there is no behind.
yeah,
that's true. We can never be behind. You know,
mm-hmm.
I'm here now. You know, it's like behind implies sort of a line, or, of course, it implies time. And so once we realize there's only here, so the line is always right here. I'm always at the center of the line here. And now is the only moment there is. So if I'm here now, I'm right at the center of everything. Now, what do I want to do now that I'm here? Yeah,
I'm gonna have to listen to that again. That sounded really neat, but I don't think I totally was
there. No, so with that, it's like, okay, then I'm gonna see what they're doing in the class.
Yeah, yeah.
And of course, as you well know, what happens to people is all of our time and attention gets taken up with a story about how we messed up in the past or how we're gonna mess up in the future. If we didn't do that, if we spent all that time and energy now, we'd be unstoppable.
We'd have the time we needed. Yeah,
exactly.
I see that so much. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you. That's so good to hear, and a great encouragement to kind of jump back in, because there is a story that I'm so busy, but I need to do it the right way. I need to read these responses first, and I don't have time to do the recording right, and, you know, there's all this junk, and
yeah.
So it is. Yeah,
so,
good to remember, like, just
yeah,
look
so
at
as,
today.
Yeah, as you read and hear people say, you know, you just pick up, you hear that, you know, you're so busy, blah, blah, blah. You just pick up the recording. You know, I'm hearing these voices say how busy I am. And really, busy doing what? You know, where are we going here? What is this leading to? What do I really
yeah.
want for my life? What's important to me? Is it that I get a bunch of stuff ticked off of a to-do list? Is that because I've done that? I've done that a ton. Did it make me really happy? No. So what actually makes me happy? Well, being present, being kind, being, yeah?
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Thank you, thank you,
yeah,
thank
so
you.
Yeah, so that's how I'm hoping people are going to use this this tool increasingly, is anytime we realize that there's something amiss, just reach for that recording, talk to the mentor about it, get back to center, get clear, go on with your life.
Thank you.
When you read
yeah.
the responses, one of the things that you will read is people reporting how quickly they turn around at this point. So
uh-huh.
instead of being lost in a story for days or weeks or months or years, you know, they put it on the recording, they listen to it, and in a matter of minutes, they've dropped it and moved on. That is exciting.
That is very exciting. Well, I think I'm very happy that I kept my commitment and did not listen to these voices, because that was just lovely to hear and really good support, and wonderful to talk to you. So,
isn't it good? I have cold chills as you say that, because it is such a perfect example of how it works. The whole thing, from you have nothing to talk about to you hang up the phone with a clear vision for yourself and your life. That's it. And we all get that too as we go through this together. So
yahoo. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jen. Good night.
Okay, take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Jen. You're listening to Open Air. Jerry, we're going to hear from Sangha Market and Stop, Drop, and Breathe, and we'll be right back.
Right.
What's this from Living Compassion?
If you've got a craving for fundraising and can't get enough of the good stuff, cruise and jet on the internet to www.sanghamarket.com.
That's sanghamarket.com for all of you squares out there.
Sangha Market, where you can sell, auction, buy, all to benefit Living Compassion. Check it out today.
If you suddenly find yourself believing the voices in your head, don't panic. Just remember these three easy steps. Stop. Drop and breathe. That sequence again is stop, drop, and breathe. This public service announcement is brought to you by Voice Busters Incorporated, purveyors of the finest practice tools and reminders since 2008. Visit us on the World Wide Web at thevoicescartoons.org.
Stop, drop, and breathe. Stop, drop, and breathe.
Welcome back to Open Air. And we have another caller, Sherry.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is George.
George!
Hey.
How are you?
Oh, good.
Say more about that.
Well, yeah. As you know, I've been in touch, and it was a real struggle going through the email class that I was pretty much in the grips of self-hate most of the time, and I was going through the motions and doing all the, you know, keeping up, not falling behind like
a
good
letter,
boy.
The letter of the law, but somehow missing
the
spirit.
Absolutely. Not stepping out of line, being a good boy, trying to get, and a lot of it was being driven by, conditioning and there was plenty of ego masquerading as the mentor and, doing the right, playing the mentor role and all kinds of stuff like that was going on. And I was feeling, pretty miserable most of the time. I have this recording. I listen to it every day. And I add to it every day. I'm so glad you extended the class. And there's that little L and R to check off every day because I'm still being a good boy and I'm checking off my L's and R's and doing them every day. And but the difference is that that I'm really enjoying it now. It's more of a choice than a chore.
Yeah.
Gone from chore to choice.
Uh-huh.
It's just a lot more fun. In fact, I used to think, oh my gosh, I have to go out for that long walk in the cold and put the thing in my ear and listen to, the stuff that just, kind of bounces off my brain. But now it's like, oh yeah, I haven't gone out yet. Oh, I get to go out.
Yeah.
And listen.
Yeah.
And there was another thing a couple of things that I started to do that I felt like would be a kindness to some parts of me anyway. One was that I started seeing a psychologist. I interviewed a bunch of psychologists in the area over the phone, and found one who seemed compatible and seemed to be familiar with with Buddhism in general, and we could speak enough of the same language, and I can use the our Sangha language and talk to him, and he knows what I'm talking about, and so on. So that was a real nice gift to myself to do that, and that's been helpful. And the other thing was that I realized that one of the things that conditioning seemed to be doing was keeping me isolated. Like, okay, you can do all of this stuff, you can do all these practices, but you can't go out and be with people because you're not good enough and they're going to reject you. And of course, it was the little kid who was afraid, to be shy and afraid and, hiding from the world and so on, that Self-Hate was talking to. But there was, the mentor was saying, no, you really need to do this. You really need to get out there a little bit. So I did that. I went to, I found out there's a Thich Nhat Hanh monastery 30 minutes from here, and there are some groups that meet in the area that are associated with that monastery. So I thought, well, that would be interesting, because I always liked Thich Nhat Hanh. I always liked his very simple, clear messages. So I went to one of the groups, and it was just a very small group of six people. They were wonderful, and there was a little bit of socialization going on, and I thought, oh, this is wrong, this is not good, but actually it was wonderful. It was wonderful to do a little socializing and to read. We read a chapter from one of Thich Nhat Hanh's books on the three jewels, and then we discussed it a little bit, and it was such a warm evening, and it felt like, yes, I can be with people and feel good, and it felt, there was this sense of oneness that was there in the group. I mean, it was just almost immediate. So those couple of things were things that this inner voice was telling me, yeah, do that. Go ahead, get out there a little bit. So I'm going to continue doing some of that.
Uh-huh. Well, the one thing that I would comment on is that if I were you, I would write a little thing, say it into your recorder, a little thank you to the person who gets referred to with, I project a slightly sarcastic tone of, the good boy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Because it sounds like, at least through the class, being a good boy got you to do things that were very helpful in taking care of you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? So if the motivation for sticking with the class was to be a good boy,
mm-hmm.
then give him a few stars, would you?
Right.
Yeah?
Right.
So
yeah,
rather
yeah,
than
I,
that kind of
was,
curled lip reference to him, maybe he's actually one of your greatest allies and supporters.
Yeah, good point. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
All right. Anything
All
else?
Right. Oh, that's good. That's my topic.
Good. And you're still walking?
Still walking, oh yeah.
And it's being good.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, I'll be.
Well, thank you so much for continuing the email class.
Oh yeah.
That's a big help. I needed that.
Yeah, I'm really glad. And before long, I'm going to announce a couple of three more things that I've been thinking about, because I really want to keep this momentum.
Yeah.
We've never experienced this kind of transformation in a whole group of people at the same time.
Yeah, really.
People staying with it the way they're staying with it.
Yeah, yeah.
So I want us to keep going until it feels like the practice is established enough that it's not going to be a, you know, people don't do it for a couple of days and karmic conditioning just closes back over and it becomes more fodder for self-hate.
Right.
So stay tuned because I have some, I think, pretty fun ideas.
Yeah, great. Yeah, certainly the ability to just recognize self-hate for what it is and say, oh, well, I know what that is.
Yes.
Is just definitely on the increase.
Yes. And also to have an alternative conversation to engage in.
Yes.
Which is clearly something that very, very, very few people have.
Yeah.
So it's all good.
All good.
All right. Thanks, George.
Thanks, folks.
Good night.
Night.
Thanks for joining us, George. You're listening to Open Air. And we have another caller, Sherry.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, it's Laura calling from Hawaii.
Calling from where?
Hawaii.
Hawaii. Aloha.
Hi, Aloha. I really appreciated your encouraging message, your email this morning, because it really brought into clear relief some little scam that conditioning has been playing with me. I'm learning Braille, and I'm at the point in the course where it's taking a lot more effort A part of me wants to say it's pretty difficult. Like it's like learning a new language and kind of a musical instrument at the same time.
Oh yeah.
But and so what I've noticed over the past couple of days is the message would come in that I should only work on this when I'm really tired because it will be more difficult.
Oh,
and,
good.
Yeah, isn't that good?
Oh.
And,
oh,
because,
my God.
Yeah, but I should carry it around in my mind all day as something that I need to do but just haven't gotten to yet.
Yes.
So today I got your commitment email, and what I projected out of that was I will just put this on my schedule. So 5 days out of the week, I will, when I'm feeling refreshed and energized in the morning before I start my day job, I will spend a half an hour doing this. And I did it this morning for the first time after I read your email. And, you know, it wasn't that difficult. It was actually kind of fun. The person came back, the one who was committed to learning Braille, who had been kind of bulldozed by conditioning. So
that is very inspiring.
You are very inspiring. Thank you.
Well, it's working well together. But just that testimonial, I guess, if we want to call it that, for it kind of reminds me of what Pasha was talking about. It was very similar to that. You know, that the voice is saying this for obvious reasons. We all know where that comes from. And you go up against it. You do the opposite. And what you find is rather than having the experience it's been predicting, you have exactly the opposite experience. In fact, you like it. It's fun. It's exciting. You tap into that spirit of let's learn something new. And you're really energized by it.
And then conditioning came in and said, well, you shouldn't put this on your schedule for 4 days a week or 5 days a week because then you'll just feel bad if you don't live up to it.
It's just, you know, even though I discourage people from wondering about why this goes on like this, a person just can't help wondering once in a while. It's like, what kind of rotten system are we hooked into here? Yeah, don't do that because you'll just feel bad if you don't do that.
Exactly. It's so convoluted, hey?
Yeah.
The other
only when we say it out loud can we really get how absurd it is and hateful.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. 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 And the other thing that I've been doing is listening to my recording and making recordings first thing in the morning to kind of get the day off to a really open-hearted start. And today what came in was, do that first thing and get it over with.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It just, it never quits. And, you know, the beautiful part to me about what you're saying is that when you're watching it like this, you catch every one of those. You know, for years, I project all of us would have gone through the progression that you've laid out, just kind of buying it each step of the way. You know, just believing it because it's me and I'm talking to myself and I know me best. And, I certainly have my best interests at heart, so I'm certainly telling myself something that's good and best for me, right? And so the fact that you're right there watching it, you can hear how it'll you've seen the thing about first thing in the morning. Don't commit to that many days of the week because you're just going to feel bad if you don't. I mean, the whole world would fall for that, okay? But you, because you're doing what it is that you're doing, you catch it. And then it does that little twist on it of, that's a good idea. Do it first thing in the morning. That way you get it over with and you don't have to, yeah.
Yeah, and then you can go unconscious.
Huh? Uh-huh.
And you can go unconscious for the rest of the day.
Exactly. And if we're not there paying that close attention, it just slides through. If we don't know, wait a minute, that's not me taking care of myself. That's, you know, that's an evil force trying to ruin my life. It's no wonder we were bamboozled for as long as we were.
Thank you so much, Sherry.
Oh, you are so very welcome. Keep us posted, huh?
I will. Thank you.
Yeah.
Lots of gratitude.
Good night.
Good night.
Or good afternoon, I guess, in Hawaii, huh?
Yeah, it's only 4:00 here.
Yeah, you have sunshine and everything, huh?
Oh, yeah, sunshine and warm trade winds.
Okay, well, all right. See you there soon, I hope.
I hope so. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Good night. Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Laura. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, it is just about 6 o'clock.
Wow. That's a first for us, isn't it, to kind of wrap up on time. That's amazing.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Well, thank you, Michael.
Oh, thank you.
This has been a lot of fun. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
And what's next week?
Next week is Tuesday, December 14th.
14th. All right. Well, let's talk again then.
Let's talk again then.
All right. Thanks, Michael.
Thanks, Sherry.
Good night.
Good night.